Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. Good to have you. Glad you're back to hear more. This is the first week of June, and we're glad to have you listening to the show because we got one that we've told you about before. And like I said, this week we will have our interview with Congressman Stephen Fincher, 8th District of Tennessee, speaking about Israel. And then we'll also ask him some things about Benghazi. So make sure you hold on your hats for this interview. Then I'm going to tell you some news items about where are we with all these scandals now. We'll talk about that. And I'm going to talk about our Memorial Day tribute to our soldiers or the fallen heroes. We'll speak to that. And at the end of the show, instead of this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, we're going to take a week off. There's so many things we could give for the Tombstone of the Week Award, but I had some comments about the way I opened the show a couple of weeks ago about the IRS. And if you remember, I was did have a bit of a rant, and I used the words, paraphrased words of Mark Antony when he saw the body of Julius Caesar. Yeah, from the Shakespeare's play. So I went ahead and paraphrased that speech out a little bit longer when Mark Antony had a speech that was pretty much full of heat and fury. So you can go back and listen to that if you want to a couple of weeks ago when I opened up the show. But at the very end of this show, we're going to have a little more of the paraphrased Mark Antony as he beholds the body of not Julius Caesar, but the Tea Party. And so you may want to stick around and listen to that if you have any theatrical or artistic desires to hear Doc Holliday do a little more Mark Antony. So that'll be at the end of the show. Now it is time to get this show on the road, and we're going to start out with a little tribute to our heroes who proved themselves by loving mercy more than life.
Oh, beautiful. Dark heroes prove in liberating strife, who more than self their country love.
That's some Ray Charles and paying tribute to Americans, to America the Beautiful, the Americans who have put their lives on the line for us. We give thanks for our veterans. We give thanks for those who are willing to sacrifice from the days of George Washington and the Continental Army all the way up into today's military who are stationed around the world to protect Americans and American interests. So we say thank you here from Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Thank you to all our veterans. Thank you for serving. And I do want to say that I hope last Memorial Day that you took time to say thank you to our veterans. I know in my hometown we did come together, and there was an appreciation for veterans. And we had a veteran to help us better understand what it was to have Memorial Day and to honor those who have fallen and honor those who have served. And I did want to say that I did have one of the guys that gave the speech there. He was talking to one of my friends. There was a lot of people I knew that were veterans, and it was good to see so many veterans gathered together. And one of the men who led the ceremony, he's 89 years old. And I just want to say that I grew up with World War II veterans all around me, uncles. I had 7 uncles, 10 uncles that served in World War II. and all around. We had World War II veterans and classmates and their fathers and grandfathers had served. And now, I tell you, in another 5 or 10 years, there are going to be very few World War II veterans. So my assignment is go out and find a World War II veteran, if you know one, and just say thank you. We appreciate your service for making America free. And as we honored those there at our ceremony, and as we thanked those, the speaker, after he spoke, he was talking with one of my friends, a veteran that's in his late 80s, and I came up to him, and he was telling a story about, he said, when he was back when he was serving, his nickname was Sheets, Towels, and John Wayne. And I said, well, I got to hear this story. So how does somebody get the nickname Sheets, Towels, and John Wayne? Well, he said he was responsible for loading up and getting the sheets and the towels and the John Wayne. And I said, well, what's the John Wayne? He said, we called the toilet paper John Wayne. And so I had to ask, why did you call the toilet paper John Wayne? He said, because it was rough and tough as leather, and it wouldn't take crap off nobody. So that's how you get the nickname Sheets, Towels, and John Wayne. I learned something on Memorial Day. I hope you did. I hope that you took time to say thank you, and maybe you learned something new on Memorial Day too. So we do honor our veterans. We honor those who've put their lives on the line for us. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts, from the depths of our souls, here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we say a big, big thank you. Now, as we get into today's show, we're going to shift gears right here, because I do want to say we are still in a scandal-clad administration. Now, one thing they talked about Ronald Reagan and other presidents, Ronald Reagan was a Teflon president. Said they couldn't find anything to stick. Of course, Iran-Contra slowed his second term down immensely. Will anything stick to Barack Obama? I mean, there's more and more we keep digging up. People keep digging up. We find out that the former IRS commissioner been to the White House over 2 years, 116 times to the White House. He tried to laugh it off, saying he was at the Easter parties and different parties. You don't have 116 parties. So what is that about? And one thing that we wanted to say, and I said in a last week's show or a couple weeks ago, where was Ann Jarrett on the night Benghazi was attacked? She's one of the main masterminds of this administration. Where was she? Did she help in any way with making decisions in Benghazi? I would like to know. I haven't heard any reporter, anybody. You've only heard it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Has anybody heard that question? Where was Ann Jarrett on the night of Benghazi? Somebody call up. Start putting that out on Facebook. Let's get somebody that can really ask the question to Ann Jarrett, the White House. Let's get some congressmen to ask that question. Where was Ann Jarrett on the night, and did she contact the president, and what did they talk about? I would like to know. We need to know. Now, as far as the other part of the scandals, what's going on? Well, as you know, there's the Tea Party. About 25 Tea Parties have filed a lawsuit against the IRS and some of its officials. And where's that going to go? Well, we talked last week to Michael Connelly, and we said, you know, if somebody did filed lawsuits, would that mess up a private prosecutor, a special prosecutor? And he said, absolutely not. It might even help find new evidence. So go back and listen to last week's show to get a better grip on the scandals. And I will have to mention the AP. Now, you know, said, well, 20 reporters. Then the Fox was news reporter Rosen was being spied on. And now we find out it's probably 20,000 different conversations were being spied on for the AP reporters. So it's getting deeper, folks. And we need more whistleblowers to come forward. We need people out there that will not let this investigation on all the scandals die. And we hadn't even heard more about the EPA scandal where conservative groups were targeted through the EPA. We need to find out more what's going on there. And the question I want to know, Doc Holliday is sitting here telling you, call your congressman. Whenever somebody comes up to the Hill from the FBI and the alcohol and tobacco and firearms, if anybody from these agencies comes up from OSHA, from all these agencies, somebody should ask the question to the head of the department, has anyone in your agency targeted conservative groups? Yes or no? And if you cannot give me a no, then find out some answers for us. And if you say no, make sure you know they're sworn in and they can be coming back for perjury. So these are the things that we need to know in the scandal-clad environment now. The questions that the congressmen are asking and congresswomen have dug a little, but we got to get to the bottom. And so far, at this point, we're not really getting into the meat of the matter. We're still on the surface in just about everything. So let's keep digging. Don't let people give up. And, you know, the Tea Party, let me give you this little scenario from the Star Wars. If you remember the first movie that ever came out in Star Wars, the Jedi, the Master Jedi, Obi-Wan Kenobi, was confronted by Darth Vader. Let's hear what happened toward the end of the movie.
You can't win, Darth. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Now, my question to you is, will the Tea Party and the Patriots groups, the conservatives who were knocked down and put out and suppressed in this last election cycle by the radical left, by the Obama rats that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, will they be like Obi-Wan Kenobi? Are they smart enough to be Jedis? Can they go out? Can we, as conservatives, go out and become more powerful than they could ever imagine? The answer is, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Stick right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Every week, we're going to teach you how to become the Jedi conservative master that we can get this country turned around. So listen each week, and in just a few minutes, we're going to have Congressman Fincher's interview about, we talked mainly about Israel, but we're going to get that interesting interview up. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I will tell you that Congressman Fincher is an exciting conservative, and he stands strong for Israel. He told us a story I'm going to tell you in just a minute before we start the interview. And I'll tell you a quick story that he told us as he spoke to us. But before that, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I want to be sure to remind you that you can pick up my book called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And you go right to my website. You can go on the homepage, front page there, click on, order the book. That's one of the things that helps keep us on the air. And we appreciate our many listeners out there who have ordered the book, and we encourage you to order more for your friends, your neighbors. And one of the things I do want to remind you that we have good friends at Freedom Works, and because freedom does work. But freedomworks.org, you can go there. You can go to the homepage, click on the picture there, Matt Kibbe. They are doing some wonderful things to help get the grassroots movement into the trenches where the rubber meets the road, and they are not backing down against this Darth Vader type socialist agenda that's being pushed down our throats. And so go there, freedomworks.org, and you can get some tools you need to do your best to become a Jedi conservative to knock these socialists right out of the Death Star. Let's get rid of the Death Star. Now, and that would be Obamacare. For you, those who don't remember the show, we call it Obamacare, the Death Star. So reminding some of our new listeners and people who may not have listened to the show a couple months ago, where we called Obamacare the Death Star that we got to get rid of before it gets rid of us and the economy and everybody that's therein. It's time now to get Congressman Fincher's interview up and going. But first, let me tell you, he told us that when he was visiting with some more congressmen, they went into the president's office, President B.B., Netanyahu, and they were speaking with President B.B. there, and the president of Israel. And he was saying he has a very small office. You think about the White House and the Oval Office. He said it's not a big office there for the president of Israel. But he showed him a glass case. And enclosed in that case was like a ring. And he asked, he said, does anybody here speak Hebrew? Of course, they all looked around and said, no, we don't. Didn't have anybody could speak Hebrew. So the president of Israel, President B.B., looked at that and he said, well, look at that ring. And there's a couple inscriptions on that ring. And he said, that ring has been dated back to the time of King Hezekiah. If anybody knows their biblical history, King Hezekiah was wasn't quite 3,000 years ago, but somewhere around 2,700 years ago. But King Hezekiah, during that time, someone had a ring, and that was that ring. And it had been discovered in one of the digs and had been given to President B.B. And guess what? On that, it was inscribed with a Hebrew word for Benjamin and Netanyahu. And it was given to him. And he said, listen, some people say the Jews shouldn't be here. Said it was all a fairy tale, the Jews ever lived here. He said, when you find that ring and it connects, said, my name's Benjamin from the tribe of Benjamin. Said, here's a ring. It has Netanyahu on there. Said, my name. That was from thousands of years ago. Said, this is our land. We're here. We're not going anywhere. And if you listen to our show a couple weeks ago with Joshua Waller, and he talked about they talk about the Palestinians and the Muslims there on the West Bank. And like, that's their land. That's more than anybody else. But a couple of things we learned from that interview, go back and listen to it if you didn't hear it. But there's about 700,000 Jews, about a million Arabs. And so it's not all Arabs and not all our Arab land. Another thing he said, 40% of the West Bank is unpopulated. You know, you think it's all crowded in, there's not any room. 40% of the West Bank is unpopulated. So some interesting things we learned from Joshua Waller. Go back and listen to that show, and we'll try to get him on again. But right now, it's time for Congressman Stephen Fincher, 8th District of Tennessee. We want to welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, the congressman from the 8th District of Tennessee. That's Stephen Fincher. We're glad to have him with us in an exclusive interview right here following a prayer dinner for Israel we've had in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, Congressman Fincher is from Frog Jump, Tennessee, and as many of you know, you've never heard of that. Well, it's not a large city, but we're glad that Congressman Fincher has come our way, and he's been to Israel before. He's going to maybe be going back soon, and he knows Israel well, and he supports Israel, and we want to ask him some questions. First question I want to ask you, Congressman Fincher, is should we as a nation, should we stick by our ally in the Middle East called Israel?
Well, thank you for having me. And absolutely, we should do everything we can to make sure that Israel grows and succeeds. Again, as I said a few minutes ago, they're a democracy, a free people, surrounded by nations that aren't free. And I think that's a lot of reason why people are against them to the extent they are. But man, it's amazing what God has done for his people and his country. And the blessings just continue to open up for those for the Jewish people.
Congressman Fincher, Israel is now building its reserves of oil and natural gas from discoveries it's made, and when they're able to export these, should we be looking at Israel to get some of our supplies that we need in America instead of looking at some of these people who hate us?
Oh, absolutely. This is a no-brainer. We should 100% be able to do business with Israel. If they have the supply to sell us, we should be buying it instead of buying it from people that want to blow us up. Absolutely.
Congressman Fincher, what are you doing now as a United States congressman? What can you do and what are you doing to make sure that this administration will back our ally Israel?
We have in Congress been we've been very proactive in making sure that the president and the administration and the world knows where we stand with Israel. It's critical that Iran, that Syria, that Lebanon, that all of that Egypt with what is happening there now with the Muslim Brotherhood, that they understand that a direct consequence of attacking Israel is attacking the United States. And if we send that message, these countries respect strength, and we have to be strong. This is a very, very touchy situation. You, in one sense, have to be loving, but in the other sense, you have to have a stern hand. We must make sure, and the Prime Minister was very clear about this 2 years ago, and hopefully we're going back this summer, we will act when the time is necessary. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Syria, they're killing their own people. This has got to stop. And what's happening with Russia, what's happening with Iran, what's happening with Syria, what's happening with weapons that are moving from place to place, we're all very concerned. But we have to, I think the main thing is when the Prime Minister and the country of Israel think it's time to act, we say we're right behind you and don't second guess them.
Congressman, that sounds good, but what would happen if our president, President Obama, decided that this administration would not back Israel if Israel had to go to war, if Israel had to fight Iran and keep them from getting a nuclear weapon? What can we do if our president decides that he doesn't want to act?
Well, and again, that's why it's very important that Congress sends the president a message. And we have sent letter after letter, bipartisan, Democrats and Republicans in the House of Representatives and the Senate, urging the president, do not play games with God's people and with the country of Israel. They're our ally, our one true ally, and they will stand with us. They have. They proved it. Technology and with the love that we have and compassionate allegiance we have with that country, we cannot play with it. And hopefully he understands the ramifications of not doing that. He's been better of late, and we I hope that continues. But he has made all of us question sometimes some of the remarks he's made, but hopefully he's moving in the right direction.
Now we can see what's going on in Syria, and they're in the middle of a civil war. And at the same time, we know that gas has been used, poisonous gas, to kill people. And it's horrible, but at the same time, should we be supplying weapons to some of the rebels who are avowed al-Qaeda, working with al-Qaeda? And do we know for sure if the poison gas was used by President Assad, or was it used by the rebels? I mean, how do we know this, and should we support the rebels?
Well, this is very complicated, and we have to make sure that we have the facts, but we also have to make sure they're killing their own people. There are times when we have to step in and stop what is happening. This is a travesty. This is they're murdering their own. And I think, again, we go back to the Middle East, and we have people that are looking at these things. I serve on the Banking Committee and Ag, so I'm not on Foreign Affairs. But these issues have to be dealt with in a very, very precise and slow, measured process, not to cause any more pain. But, again, the facts are clear. They're poisoning their own people here, and we need to step in.
Congressman, should we still be supplying Egypt with aircraft and arms when the Muslim Brotherhood now is in control of Egypt and control of these arms?
I voted last year to cut Libya's money, to cut Egypt's money. We have to stand with the ones who stand with us and not with the ones who do not. They understand that you can't buy their friendship, you can't buy their allegiance, and we need to stop sending money from people that want to blow us up and make sure that we're giving it to people, our allies again, that stand with us and to provide us with the cover and the stability we need. But these countries that spit in the face of America need to be cut off.
And Congressman, going right with that question, the people who are being killed in Egypt, where we know Coptic Christians are being persecuted, in these where the Muslim Brotherhoods where has taken over. What is the Congress doing to help protect people who are being slaughtered in countries?
Well, again, we see what happened in Egypt. We see what happens when the world thinks that free elections work. Well, in the Middle East, a lot of elections aren't like they are in America. They're rigged. And we see what happened with the Muslim Brotherhood taking over in Egypt. And you saw the United States send weapons and ammunition here a few months ago, something that was in place a few years ago. This was a Senate deal, not a House deal. We have to be stern in how we act. We have to send the message that if you're going to spit on Israel, if you're going to spit on America, we've got to be stronger and not waffle on these issues.
And we see where the administration sent more fighter planes to Egypt. And so what kind of message does that send?
That is a terrible message. That they claim it's been in the works since 2008, 2009, and 2010. That's okay, but we need to stop this. Until they understand and respect the decisions we're making, we must be stern with them. And the president, too many times, he is the president, but too many times he makes bad decisions.
Congressman Fincher, we got you here. I just got to, what are your thoughts about Benghazi?
Absolutely. We talked all day about this. We've had press updates all day. I flew back in this afternoon. There's something going on here. Our people died, and we let them die. The administration knew it. The secretary knew it. What's going on, and we're going to find out what's going on. The American people deserve to know. And beside that, the people, the loved ones of these victims, our ambassador and the ones who were killed, deserve to know why we let them die. This is important. And it's looking very, very bad. The more we uncover, and the testimony yesterday that we heard is pointing a lot of fingers. And again, we want the truth. We want to make sure that we get everything in the open before we start accusing. But something's not right here. Something's not right.
And how will you get to the bottom of this?
Well, we will start to subpoena people. That's next. And whether it is Secretary Clinton, whether it's Ambassador Rice, who told her to say what she said when she went on those talk shows that Sunday morning? Who gave her the authority, the words to say? We know now it didn't come from on the ground. It didn't come from Tripoli or Libya. It didn't come from Tripoli. Where was this information being peddled from? And the American people deserve to know.
And just where do you see this Benghazi scandal going, Congressman Fincher?
Again, we want to be careful. But American men and women died on sovereign soil, and we allowed them to die. We could have had planes there in 2 hours from Italy. We had C-130s that could have landed and got our troops out. Why were they not taken out? We're going to get to the bottom of this, and it's not a political witch hunt. This doesn't have anything to do with Hillary Clinton running for president. This is about transparency, and men and women who died and their families need to know the truth.
Wow, I believe that's Congressman Fincher standing strong for Israel, standing strong for seeking the truth in these scandals, especially the Benghazi scandal. So I appreciate him spending the time with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with us. And one of the things that I'd like to point out that Congressman Fincher was saying, even though he serves on the Ag Committee and the Finance Committee, he is very interested in what's going on in these foreign affairs. He's been to Israel. He plans to go to Israel again. And he sees the message that we're sending when we send jet fighters to Egypt when they're spitting in America's face, spitting in Israel's face. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood, we know historically what they've said about Israel. Right now, there's still a peace treaty with Israel, and we hope that can be maintained. But America's going to have to do more than just crossing their fingers and hoping that the Barack Obama crossing their fingers policy is going to work in the Middle East. We've got to be strong and back up our words and make sure that our ally in the Middle East feels safe, our ally named Israel. Great to have you on the show. We are finishing up. I told you we're not going to do a Tombstone of the Week award this week. We're going to leave you with the words of Mark Anthony. If he had... When he saw Caesar's pierced body, stabbed many times. That's what I alluded to. And if Mark Anthony saw the Tea Party and understood what the media and so many others tried to kill the Tea Party and just beat it down. But now we find out the most cruelest cut of them all, the most unkind cut of them all, came from the government-sponsored Internal Revenue Service. People within the Internal Revenue Service targeted and stomped on the civil rights of American citizens, conservative American citizens, people of the Tea Party. And so if Mark Anthony was to look at that bloodied work by the hands of the IRS when he looks at the Tea Party, this is what he might say. And this will be the end of the show. When Mark Anthony lines are completed, I just want to remind you, next week we got another great show coming up. We're going to talk more on the scandals, the headlines, what's going on with politics. So you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And like I've said, you'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else, especially this artistic rendition of Mark Anthony paraphrasing for the Tea Party instead of Julius Caesar.
Oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these political butchers. Thou art the ruins of the most noblest movement for freedom in the 21st century. Woe to the IRS that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which like dumb mouths do ope their ruby lips to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall descend upon the Obamacrats. Domestic fury and intra-party strife shall encumber all the parts of every state. Accusations and revelations shall be so in use, and a dreadful congressional subpoena so familiar, that the mainstream media shall but smile when they behold their spies from the administration quartered with their hands of political war. All pity choked with custom of failed deeds, and the Tea Party spirit ranging for revenge shall watch the devil as he pushes his minions toward hell, and shall in these confines with our people's voice cry, real change is coming now, so let's slip the dogs of political war, that this foul deed of the IRS shall smell above the earth. With experienced Obamacrats groaning, we shall be voted out of office.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.